Father God, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the firm foundation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that we can come before you together corporately and praise your name. Lord, I pray that our worship has been pleasing and acceptable to you as we proclaim these truths about who you are and all that you've done. Lord, I pray that you would also cause us, Lord, to consider our own position, who we are in Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. And Lord, may that as a result cause us to live a life that is worthy of the gospel by which we've been saved. And Lord, I pray that this morning as we continue to worship you by opening up your word, would you make it so clear to us? Would you use your word to bless us and encourage us for the week ahead? As well, Lord, would you use your word to challenge us and convict us where necessary? I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to do his work in our lives and conform us to the image of the Son. And as he does that, Lord, may we be enriched and emboldened to share the good news of the gospel. And the lives that we lead, Lord, I pray that they would just exude joy and peace to the world around us. Again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for how awesome and majestic your name is. It's in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again. You may be seated. Years ago, when Ashley and I were just married, we went on a camping trip. This is probably the first time we had gone camping together. And we had this tiny little two-person tent, which sounds nice and cozy. And then you throw in a 95-pound German Shepherd that was in there with us. And we've upgraded tents since then, but we were all hunkered down for the night, and Ashley needed to get something or look for something, so she whipped out the flashlight and starts looking around the tent, and then all of a sudden, she starts screaming and flapping, and the tent is moving all sorts of directions. I'm thinking, what is going on? And she says, a spider! And let me tell you, right? Normally, I would say, yes, it's a spider. But I saw this spider, too. The flashlight landed on it. I saw it, and maybe this is hyperbole. I don't think it is. I don't think I'm misremembering. But this spider, if it was any bigger, I probably could have put a collar and a leash on it and walked it out of the tent. And hair, like, it probably had more hair than our German Shepherd. It was this huge spider. So I pick up a shoe to go smash it, knowing that when I smash it, it's going to be all over the tent. And it crawled underneath another shoe. So I very carefully, I said, don't move, right? She's trying to hold the dog. Don't move. We got to contain this. I grabbed the shoe that it went under, and I went to go smack it. And the only thing worse than knowing that there's a big spider in your tent and being able to see it is knowing that there's a big spider in your tent and not being able to see it. Because I lifted out that shoe, and the spider was not there. The rest of the night was a pretty sleepless night. And every once in a while, every few minutes, Ashley would click on the flashlight and scan around. But have you experienced that? Maybe not that scenario, but I bet each and every one of us has been somewhere, whether it's been outside or even in the house, and you go to move something, and when you move something, little critters just scurry, right? Have you seen that? Whether it's a rock or a stick or something like that, and all you lift it up, and all the creepy crawlies, they see the light, and what do? They run from the light. And there's actually a really good picture in that for us. Every time I see that, every time I move a stone and see something slither away, I'm reminded of John chapter 3, verse 19, that reminds us, tells us that men, people, us, we love the darkness. Why? Because our deeds are evil. And that's the state of human beings. That's the state of mankind, each and every one of us born a sinner by nature and by choice. Every single one of us, our default setting is to love the darkness. Because we know that our deeds are evil. So John, in the letter of 1 John, and if you have your Bibles, you can go there. In the letter of 1 John, he spends a lot of time talking about light and darkness. And the theme of light is closely connected with the theme of life. And in this letter, he is actually expounding on, I would say, something that he's already developed in the Gospel of John. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The same writer that wrote the Gospel of John is writing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation, by the way. And in all of those books, we see light as a major theme. And maybe you're reading that and you're hearing that and you're saying, okay, well, why is that such a big deal? Why does John spend so much time on light? Well, I'm going to say that the whole Bible actually spends a lot of time on light. The concept of light. This theme of light can be traced all throughout the Bible. So today, we're looking at one verse. But it's actually, as we look at this one verse, it's going to take us from Genesis all the way to Revelation. As we focus on our God, who is light, our God, who in him no darkness is found at all, and what that means for you and for me. So I'm going to read, starting at verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 5. Verse 5 is our verse today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we write these things that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What's really, really awesome about verse 5 is John, he's writing this in the Greek, the original Greek. And as he's writing this in the Greek, there is at the end of the verse, at the end of the sentence, a double negative. So in English, when we have a double negative, that means it kind of cancels out, right? I've been thinking all morning about how to, like, give you an example of a double negative, and every time I go to say it out loud, my mind just fixes it, and I guess I'm scared of bad grammar that way, and I just can't say it, but you all know what I mean, right? Ain't nothing, or yeah, there it is, right? When you have a double negative, it cancels out. It doesn't make any sense, but in the Greek, when there's a double negative, it actually has the opposite effect. What it is doing when there's a double negative in the original biblical Greek is emphasizing that word, is making that point even stronger. So as this would read in the Greek, would be something like this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness, no nothing darkness. And so what we would say and translate that to the English would be no darkness at all, or absolutely no darkness, or no spot, no blemish, no even small parts of darkness. So as we look at our God, we recognize that our God is a God who is light. And in him there is absolutely no, not a spot, not a speck of darkness. And why would that matter for you and for me today? Why should that matter for us as we are 21st century Christians trying to live our life in a way that pleases God? Why does that matter for you and for me? Well, the simple answer is that if we are God's children, we ought to be like him, right? And so our default nature of loving the darkness because our deeds are evil, if that's our default nature, well then, guys, we got to flee from that. We got to run from that. Because if God has given us the privilege, the honor to be called his children, then we got to look like his children. We got to act like his children. And all throughout the Bible, we see our God standing in light and darkness fleeing from him. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what did he do? He spoke. Let there be lights. What did the darkness do? It fled. Genesis chapter 1. Let me just read the wording for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. We begin the Bible with darkness prevailing, with darkness being over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, He's the one that speaks, let there be light. He creates something from nothing. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So I want you all to understand, we have a narrative that's happening right here. As we're reading this, we see what is going on. We see that God creates. He creates lights. And then He makes day and night. But there is a theme that is now developing, even in these first two verses that we'll see all throughout the Bible. Because Genesis 1 and 2 give way to Genesis chapter 3. And we all know what happens in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they rebel against God. They sin against Him. They decide that they're going to live life their own way instead of God's way. They want to be like God. They want to be wise like God. They want to have the ability to choose. And they chose very poorly. And so sin and death entered into the world. And darkness seems to prevail. It seems to prevail so much so that in Isaiah chapter 9, we read this, the people who walked in darkness. The understanding is that these people not only have seen darkness, not only have played with darkness, no, they walked in darkness. They lived in darkness. Darkness was all that they knew. But this words here, in Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness, it is in the midst of a great messianic prophecy. In the midst of God proclaiming that He will send a Messiah, a Savior, to come and free the people from their sin, from their death, from the darkness that they walk in. Listen to these words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light come. Jesus is about to step into the picture here, and we get to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we, again, written by the Apostle John, we have a really beautiful set of words here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The beauty of that one verse is that we recognize even in the midst of the utter depraved state that mankind was in, even in the midst of the hopelessness and helplessness that people were lost in their sins, wandering in this world, stumbling and bumbling through the darkness, even in the midst of that, God, He still was going to prevail. The darkness had nothing on the light. The darkness always has to flee from the light. We keep reading in John chapter 8, we read that Jesus Himself says, I am, what? The light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It seems as though the darkness is going to prevail in the biblical narrative, but we see all throughout, no, God says, I am light, and darkness flees from Me. And we'll just take a moment and pause right here and say, Christian, believer in Jesus Christ, you don't need to worry about the things that are happening in this world. If you look around you and see chaos and darkness and you fear, you don't need to. You know why? Because the light of the world has come, and the darkness flees from the light. And if you truly are in Christ Jesus, you have victory because He has already obtained victory. And He doesn't want us to be anxious about this world or this life. No, instead, He's called us to better things, to greater things. And we see here in Acts chapter 26, Paul is speaking, and he's talking about his call into ministry. And he says this, verse 15, "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord Jesus said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.'" He's describing his conversion story here. "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appointed you to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen to me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." Verse 18 is important. This is the reason why God is sending Paul to be an apostle. "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And then we go back to John chapter 1, or 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "In him there is no darkness." No darkness at all. 1 Peter, he puts it a slightly different way. 1 Peter says this, chapter 1, starting in verse 13, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children..." Remember, our God, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are privileged, we are honored to be called His kids. John chapter 1, verse 12 makes that so clear. To all who did receive Jesus, to all who did believe in His name, He gave the right to be called children of God. So if we are children of God, Peter now says, as obedient children, because we all know there's a difference between a kid and an obedient kid, right? We've all been there. That's something we all can have in common. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." Don't run back to the darkness. He's given you light. He's given you the ability to see and to live in light. Don't scurry back to the darkness. But isn't that our default? Isn't that a little bit more comfortable? Have you ever been reading the Bible, or maybe you're sitting in church or at a Bible study, or maybe you're just talking with a friend and something is said and you feel like the Word of God is piercing you. You feel like, ooh, somebody just shined a flashlight on a portion of my heart and I don't like that. You don't have to raise your hands, but I'm going to assume that applies to most of us, right? There's been a time or a place or a moment where you felt like that spotlight was shining so brightly on you and there was darkness in you that was being exposed, and your default setting is to run away from it. Your default setting is to self-justify and say, you know what? No. Like, that was old me. I don't do that anymore. Or, you know what? Like, you know, a lot of people struggle with that, but not me. Or maybe you just sidestep it and say, well, I only did that because of all these hard things going on in my life. I only thought that way because of the way that person had treated me. I only talk to them that way because of what had happened in my past. It's really easy for us to justify the light away, isn't it? It's really easy for us to justify and creep away, just like a little creature is exposed to the light, it's easier for us to run away and hide back in that darkness. But Peter says, no. Don't be conformed to the foreign passions. Don't be conformed to the darkness. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter's now quoting the Old Testament, where God speaks to his people, and he says, I am a holy God, you be holy as I am holy. And the people in the Old Testament, they said, okay, that's a hard thing to do, but we'll try our best. How do you think they did? About as good as you and I do, right? But here's the really cool difference. Here's the moment where we can have the light bulb go on. And we can say, whoa, like, if I'm in Christ Jesus, if he's the light of the world, if I'm in Christ Jesus and he has changed me, if I truly am in Christ Jesus, meaning there's therefore now no condemnation in me, for me, there, I've now been changed, I'm now new, I'm no longer the old creature, I'm a new creation. I'm no longer walking in the darkness, my deeds in the darkness, I'm dropping those, I'm now living in the light that he has given me, the light that he himself is. If I'm in Christ Jesus, I read a verse like 1 Peter, and boy, does it feel weighty. Be holy as I am holy. This is God we're talking about. How am I supposed to measure up? You're not. Jesus did. And so we trust in his work, not our own. We trust in his power, not our own power. We rely on what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, and even more than that, we rely on who Jesus is. And that's the things that gets us through the day. That's the things that gets us through the years. That's the things that allows us to say, no, I no longer want to have any part in darkness. I want to walk in the light that he is. The light that he gives. And here's the really cool part. I said we were going to go from Genesis to Revelation. I meant it. In Revelation chapter 22, we get this awesome glimmer of the new heaven, new earth, new creation, where pain and suffering and tears, they're gone. Sickness, no more. Death, defeated. Sin, gone. Our God has made all things new. This is the moment that you and I as believers, we get so excited for. We look forward with great longing and expectation. As the Bible says, this is the moment where we place all of our hope in and we say, yes, Lord, make it so. Come, Lord Jesus. And then in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 22, it says this, no longer will there be anything accursed. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. How cool is that? One, how cool is it that night will be no more, right? But how cool is it that as you look at the Bible, again, this is why you should show up on Wednesday night, because we're going to look at how beautiful and awesome this thing is. We start off the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and God separates the darkness from the light. He creates night and day. He speaks and darkness runs from him, and then we get to the end of the Bible. Thousands of years later written, and we read this awesome bookend. The night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. We don't need a light or a lamp or a sun. No, the sun. He's going to be the light. The Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, he is the lamp for us. And so we look forward with great expectation for that day. And we recognize that as believers who serve a holy God in whom there is no darkness, no darkness at all. This awesome God who we serve, this awesome God who we say we are in, this awesome God who we say is our Lord and our Savior, this awesome God who we get to cry out, Abba, Father. We have that privilege to call him Father. This awesome God of the universe who is holy has also called us to be holy. This awesome God who is light has called us to live in the light. And folks, that has a lot of implications for our life today, doesn't it? It has a lot of implications for the way that we start off the day. You start off the day moaning and groaning and grumbling about having to go to work or go to school. Don't worry, you're not alone. A lot of us do it, right? But is that the way that we should start our day? I would love for each and every one of us, I don't think it'll happen, but we wake up in the morning, the birds are chirping, right? We get up and we stretch. This is the day that the Lord has made. That'd be cool, right? Maybe try saying that. I won't challenge you. I challenged you guys a few weeks ago to read the book of Romans in that week, and a lot of you did. Good job. I won't challenge you to do this one, right? Because I know there's a lot of not morning people. But what I will challenge you to do is when you wake up, at some point, after a couple sips of coffee or something, I want you to remind yourself that this, today, is the day that the Lord has made. And he's made it so that you can walk in light, not hide in darkness. And this God who is light, who is holy, he's called you to live holy. He's called you to live in light. And that means that we'll have to make choices that are not normal for us. Remember, our default setting is to be sinful, isn't it? And so for us to be able to make choices that are following our God, they might grade against some of the things that are natural in us, the natural man. There might be some things that we'll have to do that is a little uncomfortable. You know why? Because the flashlight is shining on that little dark spot in us. But as Psalm 139 says, Lord, search me. If there's any grievous way in me, find it out. Lead me to the way everlasting. Lead me into righteousness. Lord, search me. See if there's any dark spot in me. Shine the flashlight there. And when it's really, really uncomfortable that the light is so bright, Lord, help me to withstand as you purify me, as you make me clean. Help me to be an obedient child to you because there's a lot at stake. You want to know what's at stake? Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, the light of the world, he looks at his disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. It's really, really fun when I talk with other pastors or friends of mine who say, hey, what's it like being a pastor in a small town? I say, it's awesome. And they go, well, what about like living in a fishbowl? Everybody kind of gets to see your life. I said, it's awesome. I love it. Because not only does everybody get to see my life, but in a small town, I actually get to see a lot of other people's lives too. It goes both ways. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to put my life on a stand. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The world around you, your small town, your work, your school, your family, they see your life. They see how you're living. It's kind of hard to have secrets from the people that are closest to you. And maybe you've been able to keep some secrets, but my guess is that they still see some stuff. And even more than that, I know that you can't keep any secrets from our God, who is the ultimate light, who darkness runs from. And so if you're trying to keep things in darkness, if you're trying to hide stuff away, know that you might be able to fool some of us, but you can't fool God. Everything that's done in darkness will one day come to light. That's in here too. So I want you to understand what is at stake here. What is at stake is that the people in our lives are watching the way that we live. What will they see? Will they see somebody that looks just like them, bumbling around in the darkness, walking in the darkness and, you know, kind of loving it? Or are they going to see somebody that is a reflection of their Heavenly Father? Are they going to see someone who takes seriously the command, be holy as I am holy? Are they going to see somebody who is a reflection of the God who in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all? Our God is light. Let's run to him. Let's reflect him. Let's look forward to the things that he can and will do in us and through us. And let's be sure that we are a light in this world. That the people around us can see very clearly who we belong to. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we belong to the light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for your awesome goodness. Lord, we thank you for the fact that darkness runs from you. Lord, would you help us to walk and be in the light? Lord, I pray that each and every day, every moment that we breathe, Lord, we would give you the glory for it, that we would live lives that are worthy of this awesome gospel by which we've been saved. Lord, help us to look to you, the light. Let us look forward to that day where we will be with you in glory. And Lord, let who you are inform how we live. As we focus more, as we reflect more on how awesome you are, Lord, would you use that to change our desires, unbend our will to match yours? Would you help us to hate sin the way that you hate sin, and help us to love light the way that you love light? We pray, Lord, that you would use us to impact the people around us, to draw them to you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to care for one another in our midst, and to share help and hope and life and joy and light with them as well. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to tell you this. You got to come back next week, because really chapter 1 verse 5, it is the setup to the next couple of verses. So that's why we're just doing a few at a time here, right? Come back next week. God bless you. See you later.